The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb, and the plain that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palms as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I will let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him. Just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house, for Jesus had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. As much more glory as the builder of a house has more than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord. I do not have a formal sermon or lesson prepared. So what I'd like to do is to take the gospel lesson and walk through it line by line and what it means to me, and any message that I see in that. So, verse 28, Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. This isn't the only time that Jesus takes Peter, John, and James with him. We find also in the Garden of Gethsemane. So why did he pick these three disciples to pray with him? Is it because they were his favorites? Did they bring him some comfort? Or because they needed the additional time with Jesus? I don't know what the answer to that is. I think it could be all three. We know that even though Peter was strong in the faith, he denied Christ. So maybe that's what it was, to bring them to a higher point. 29. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothing became dazzling white. This isn't the only time we see the glory of Jesus. Right? This is the full beauty of Christ and his full glory. While he's on the earth, he is God and man, and they caught kind of a glimpse of his true glory. Again, probably not the perfect glory, but as close as you could get. 30. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. So the first question is, how did they know it was Moses and Elijah? There were no paintings of Moses and Elijah. So the only answer could be that during the conversations that Jesus was having with these two men, that names were mentioned, and that's how they knew. And why Moses and Elijah? They were very big prophets, very well known to the Jews. So were these there specifically to talk to Jesus and address his coming work that he had to do? Or was it because the three disciples were there to again bring them further into the faith? Don't know the answer to that. It could again be all. And then 31, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So what was the point? Jesus went to pray. They were praying, and then Moses and Elijah come and they have this conversation with Jesus. Was this to help Jesus deal with his human part, his earthly part, or was it an answer to Jesus' prayers? Again, we don't know. 32. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. So again, we find the disciples that went with Jesus to pray asleep, just like in Gethsemane. Why were they asleep? Were they not moved by the prayers that Jesus was praying? Or were they just overly tired? And here they were disciples of Jesus. You would think that they would have the wherewithal and the discipline to stay awake. But we don't know how long Jesus was praying either. So I think it's interesting that these three disciples twice are called by Jesus to go pray, and they all fall asleep. And then also, they saw the two men standing with him, so they recognized who they were. And now when they wake up and they see these gentlemen with Jesus, Moses and Elijah, verse 33, and as they were departing from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So what was he thinking? Were they going to spend days on the mount? Were there going to be long conversations? So again, Peter was a little brash and a little forward, didn't really think before he opened his mouth like many of us. So 34, as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Again, common theme, fear in the disciples, at least up until the point where Epiphany comes. And then a cloud, another common thing we see in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, where God is in the cloud and speaking from the cloud. And if you remember with Moses, that Moses was the only one who could see God, right? So is God in the cloud to save us from seeing him and paying the penalty of doing that because of our sin? Again, very good question. I don't know the answer to that. 35. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." So why does God have to tell the disciples that this is my son? This isn't the first time this has happened. Wouldn't be the last. So these disciples who are supposed to be so strong in the faith have to be reminded again and again who Jesus is and what he's there on the earth to do. Again, not until the Epiphany do the disciples really become strong in the faith, boisterous to go out into the world and proclaim Christ as who he is. 36. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. So again, a theme, Jesus says, don't go spreading any word around until it's my time, then you can go do it, right? So one other thing that I find interesting in this story is that Moses and Elijah have died and now come to visit Jesus. So do you go to heaven or do you sleep in the grave until Christ's second coming? I think this tells us that we do go to heaven and spend our time there until Jesus' second calling. That's my opinion. There's nothing in synod that says that's the way it is, but that's the way I see this, is that how else could Moses and Elijah come to visit Jesus unless they were in heaven? The second thing is that, again, this is an observation on my point, looking at the text here, is Moses and Elijah have come back to earth. So could there be spirits walking the earth? The theory is, based on this, yes. But it would have to be under God's command, God directing them here. So the fact that some people believe that there's spirits all over the place, I don't think that's true, but this doesn't rule it out. So again, that's Kevin's opinion. Nothing in synod says that. So with that, I don't have anything else. Again, I apologize that I don't have a true sermon or lesson. But then we'll finish with, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.